Yes, my name is Malia. Wasn't that worth the wait today, those of you who are out there? Yeah, because when we came in, the place was already filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we just went right into there. 5 minutes, like, I'm like, it was empty. I'm like, 3-4 minutes, it's like the place was packed. And we were all excited, anticipating that God would meet us here this morning. So that was really good to see in the praise and worship, and then even the kids. My husband and I, we looked after the kids' church when we first started. And so just seeing the kids here, it really did melt my heart. I don't know about you guys, but I really did want to dance, you know, stirring up deep in wells, because, you know, he really is worth it. Okay, I should start, because we started late today. I was trying to find a topic that would be close to my heart with anybody else that's heard me speak before here. I'm always sharing part of my story. It seemed like a millennia ago, I spoke about how I got a new revelation on what Jesus did on the cross for me and how that changed my life. But then as I walked with God, I started to realize just how imperfect I was. And then I began to realize, but how much God loved me. So if you'd like to hear my love story, would you mind if I started? Okay. So let's start with my family, because that's always a good place to start. This photo was taken last year at Manukau Heads. It takes about 2 hours from the city to get there. But Auntie Gloria and Elma, they live like 20 minutes away from that place. As you can see, I've got a few of my family there. I actually carry 10 kids in my heart, but in that photo, in the middle is my mum and dad. They carry the youngest, Kalea. Then we've got Israel, Javan. Yeah, that's my family, that's mum and dad. But then I've got 10 in my heart, like I said before. If you could take our next slide, please, love. We had this girl with us back in 2007. Her name is Kada. She is 29 this year. She met the lovely young Jonah, and they have 3 children. We have Lizelle, who's 10, and she has twin boys. So go mothers with multiple births. The twins are 4. So slash, I'm like an oma, I'm a nan. And then we have Petra, if we go back to, oh, okay. No, go forward. Okay, then we have Petra, who is here. Then we have my boy. So this is like a boy's photo. Petra's 21st. Guy in the hat with his tongue out. He's 21. The guy doing a gang sign is 18. Then we've got the 17-year-old next on the other side of the guy in the hat. He's Xavier. And then Samwala, he's our other spiritual son. He's also 17. And then you saw Judea today. He is 7. Then we have, next slide, please, lovely. The girl, the little one in the middle there that just doesn't like to look at photos, because if you ever meet her, it's all really dependent on her temperament, whether she looks at you, whether she talks to you, whether she acknowledges you're in the room. Her name is Kalea. She's 3, and then we miscarried last year. I really do believe that Palea was a girl, so that is 10 that I carry in my heart. Obviously, I don't want to offend anybody who's been in my home, who's stayed there, but the 10 that I do name, they've actually lived with us, but you know. Anyway, I look at that lady, the one in the blue shirt there in the middle, and you think, man, she's an amazing mother. She's, you know, she brings in a lot of people, and she must have so much love to give. But I had my birthday on Friday. No hints intended, no birthday presents, warranted, but if you have the gift of generosity, then thank you. I turned 21 on Friday. Woo, yeah, 21 with 24 years experience. That's the part I don't really say too loudly. Okay, so It's been that 24 years worth of experience that has changed me from someone that I don't actually recognize anymore. Could we go to our next slide, please? Okay. I know, right? Okay, disclaimers, please. No photos taken at any time, because there was that song when we talk about being safely undone. Okay, so right here in this safety zone, I am exposing myself to my family as to what I look like at 21. That lady there looks like the three-year-old that I see every day. She was very arrogant, very stubborn. You look at her. She really feels like she owns the world. Yeah. Do you like my hair? That 21-year-old Malia, she didn't really think her life was worth too much, so she treated it with great disdain. I treated it with great disdain. I know you're all perfect Christians, so when you hear my story, be like, no way, but believe it or not, I used to drink. Believe it or not, I used to dabble with drugs. Believe it or not, you know, I had sex outside of marriage, and not just once. But I won't go into numbers for those of you who are mathematicians. When I look at her, it really does make me feel ashamed, because she was so self-centered, because she was so arrogant in the way she treated life. But it has been with a lot of patience that there was this person who showed me how much he loved me, how much he cared for me, that I would, you know, walk home at 4 o'clock in the morning, think, you know, that I'm like Wonder Woman, no person is going to attack me yet. I'll read in the paper the very next day that the park I had just walked through, a woman had just gotten raped. You know? That person, if she only knew just how much God loved her. And so today, I'd like to share with you my love story, about how God showed me through my life experiences how much he loved me. Is that all right? Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the people here in this room that we all got to, under the spirit of unity, come and worship you this morning, and to thank you for the mothers in our lives, whether they're our biological mothers, spiritual mothers, older women who we look to as role models of who we should be in you. Lord, I pray that as I speak today, that it would honor you. Any words that are not of you would fall by the wayside. But Father, I pray that this would bless you, bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so when I was preparing for any sermon, actually, because, you know, God tells us to be really in and out of season, I had some really good ones, I tell you. I had this acronym for MUM, M-U-M, and then I had a few others, because I'd been doing some Bible studies last year, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm so ready, I'm so equipped, let those be me. But in the midst of all of my life, God continue to give me these three words that he wanted to share with you this morning. And so I'd like to start with the first word, which is worship. Now, worship. When I got saved, I was wondering as to, one, why did God love me? And then two, how could I love God in return? And when I was, you know, actually wrestling with God over this, because this is something that is dear to my heart, but it's something I hold so close I don't want to share with anybody else, but he wants me to share it today, is that how we could show we love him is by simply obeying his Ten Commandments. It's as easy as that, but in regards to worshiping him, it's more specifically to the first two. So if we could go to the next slide, please, lovely. Do you like this slide? I actually quite like it. My husband did it for me. So let's see. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. That could be any slavery for us now. It doesn't actually have to be a physical slavery. It could be slave to a sin, slave to a thought pattern, slave to food and addiction, okay? You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol. So an idol is anything you worship outside of God. It could even be yourself. Because if God's telling you to do one thing, but you're doing something else, you're your own idol. Okay? You must not make yourself for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay down the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. That's why Freedom Weekend's really good, FYI segue to Freedom Weekend, because you'll understand as to why sometimes you do things but you don't understand why. It's because it may be a sin of your parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents. Okay, back to this part. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. I'll say that one more time. But I lavish, so to really just, he just wants to give you everything. I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. So when God talks to us about worshiping him, and loving him by obeying his commands, I wanted to be like any good student, and I Googled worship, and there was so much definitions out there, and then my brain started to sort of like throb, and then it went to the front, then I went to the back, then I went to go for sleep, then I got up, and it was still the same. So I was like, okay, if this is how I'm feeling, I'd really like to sort of simplify somewhat. We could have gone through the Greek, we could have gone through the Hebrew, we even could have gone through the Psalm 1. We could have looked at the early church. There was just so much in it. You really do need to get in it if that's your deal. But for today, I would like to offer you a simplified Malia version of what worship is. That worship is the external expression of a humble heart, with a reverent attitude of acknowledging a deep respect and reverence for God. Okay, so when we look at that definition, it's an external expression. So it's something that's happened on the inside, that you've humbled your heart before the Lord. And when you humble yourself, that you acknowledge that he is King, he is Lord, he is God, and that there is nothing we can do that could outgive him, outlove him, outdefend him. That's what it is to worship him. We are in total surrender. And then because we have that humble heart, we have that reverent attitude that, you know, because I grew up in a Catholic background, I'm so used to, you know, walking in, putting my hand in the holy water, doing that, you know, genuflecting, and that was a Catholic expression of reverence. But as a born-again Christian, I understand that my reverence also has to be an internal thing. So as I approach the holy throne in prayer, as I approach him in song, as I approach his creation, you guys, that I would always remember of just how holy he is. And the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross, that when he died and there's like this curtain that you couldn't walk through back in the Old Testament to see the presence of God, and that was ripped open, that because Jesus died on the cross for us, we can actually come before him. You know, anyone who had sin would die. That's why they would wear bells on their, shoes or clothes, so that if you couldn't hear the bells anymore, that person obviously didn't confess their sin to God and they got smoked. Whereas here today, we can just humble ourselves right now. We can come with a humble heart, with a reverence of acknowledging how holy our God is. Okay, so all that See, now you can understand why I just try to simplify it with what worship is. I then asked God, how do I worship? When my kids were little, I was all about trying to help them find their God-given gift. So I would say to them, okay, Xavier, when you wake up in the morning and, you know, you want to praise God, do you want to sing or dance? And then he's like, I want to dance. Okay, well, that's God's God-given gift on you. You're meant to dance. And then Javon's like, well, what about me? And I'm like, oh, okay, son, when you wake up in the morning, what do you want to do? How do you worship God? He goes, I want to sing. I said, son, that's your God-given gift. And that's how he wants you to worship him. And then I've got another child who I won't say her name. She was like, okay, mum, what do you do when you really want to lay the smack down on someone because, you know? I said, well, you're called to be an evangelist. So, you know, we're still working out on that one with her. So, yeah. And then yesterday, when I got to explain why I wanted to be part of the worship song item that they did yesterday, all my ladies go, hoorah!
Hoorah!
Ooh, all my ladies go, hoorah!
Hoorah!
When I got to participate in that, I began to realize that the older I got, the more I became like David, and that dance was my thing, because I used to be like my daughter, who wanted to lay the slack down, because my parents would tell you I always gave my brother a hiding. And then I thought like I was the dancer, you know, so I like had a dance crew, and you know, and then I thought I was a singer, but I'm actually more of a choir singer, you know. And then now, as I grow older, I realize that I am really meant to worship God through dance. Then I wanted to, you know, as I was talking to God about it, and I was like, Lord, you know, I love how you've wired us to worship. Can you show me? And then all of a sudden, all these psalms started coming up. Next slide, please, lovely. And I'm going all over the place. That's why my young man at the back there is... thing, because my notes say one thing, but I'm saying something else, and so he's just going to go with my prompting, okay? So I didn't actually put numbers on this part, and so then my husband's like, what psalms are they? I said, I don't know. I don't know. So if you want to take a photo of that one, you can, and then you can, you know, blue letter Bible it and find where in psalms it is. But yeah, I'm going to read it. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. All the ends of the earth, that includes us here in New Zealand, shall remember that and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Ascribe to the Lord, and glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. So as you can get from the psalmist there, it really is acknowledging how holy God is. It's humbling ourselves before him. Okay. And then as God was showing me through his word what it is to worship, I got a picture of a woman in my mind. And then I started to realize, and that's what I was talking about, how God loves me, that he had actually sent me, before that 21 years of my life, three women who had shown God's love to me in three different ways. And the first woman who showed what it is to worship God and humble herself before him is my Auntie Leonge. Now, my Auntie Leonge, she is my dad's distant cousin. We met her. I grew up in a small town in Whanganui. It's a really small, like, I don't even think it's a dot on the map. Maybe. But there was, like, hardly any islanders there. And so this lovely woman, single mother of two. And back in the 70s, in early 80s, you could only imagine a small town with a small number of islanders who would then obviously prejudge her without even knowing her. And yet through her example of how she worshipped God, I was able to get to do a lot of things, actually, because I'm a first generation born and bred here in New Zealand. My parents immigrated from Samoa. There was conflict in our home. I couldn't speak English till I was five. And then when my parents took me to kindy, the kindy teacher was like talking to my dad. I was like, how come your daughter can't speak English? Because my dad's like, can't you hear my English? It's broken. So if I'm teaching my daughter broken English, what's she going to be like here? That's your job as a teacher. You teach her English. And so, whereas my auntie, she must have come over in the 60s, so she had a good grasp of the European culture, and she was able to help me assimilate what my culture looked like at home, speaking only in Samoan, and even the way we ate. So she taught me how to use a knife and fork. She taught me elbows off the table, and she taught me to speak up, because back then, my parents didn't speak up in their workplace. They didn't speak up when anywhere, actually. Whereas my auntie always encouraged me to speak up. She goes, you know, God's given you a voice. You need to stand up for your mum and dad. You need to stand up for your people. You need to stand up for other young women. So she encouraged me in my leadership, in my service. And there was one thing she encouraged me on? Yeah, and just knowing that it was really God who would be able to do all these things. So today I just wanted to thank God and say thank you of how much he loves me, that he would provide my auntie Leonge to show me what it was like to worship. Okay? And then, like I said, God had given me three words, and the next one was wander. Okay, I saw last night on Instagram, Pastor Joey, he's actually doing a service today, Wonder Woman. Obviously, he must be a DC fan. But yeah, Wonder. And then I was like, okay, then Lord, what is Wonder? Again, I'm on Google and I'm looking at all sorts of different things. And then a pattern started to arise of looking at amazement, looking with how things are. They're like, wow, how did that happen? Yeah, and you admire it. And then I looked again, and I'll talk about, I think it's Bible Hub and Bible Study Tools, two great websites there, and that when you look at wonder in something, it's because a miracle has happened. That's how it was relayed more specifically in the New Testament. So, again, for the purposes of today, I'll give you my simplified Malia vision, that wonder is an external expression of the witness, admiration, and amazement at the sight of a miracle. Okay, so a great picture comes to mind where you have been given a gift, or actually, I'll rewind that. Christmas time, and you give gifts to your kids, or you know there's someone you quite like, and you want to give them a gift, and then they open it, and then you look at their face, you're like, wow, and you know that they're in wonder, right? You know that because of the way they've expressed themselves on their face, that you feel loved. Well, would I be wrong in sharing that? You know, whereas if someone else, you know, opened up their present, would you feel loved? No, I know I wouldn't. So when I think of wonder, it's that same thing. When you see something that God's given you, a miracle, you know, like next week we'll be talking about Elisha and all the miracles that God had performed through him. Creation itself is a miracle. you know, all the big things, you can always stand in amazement and go, wow, right? But it's those little things. It's the little things, are we still in wonder? That we get to, there's a few nurses in here, but you know, and so you get to, you know, see people who can no longer walk again. So walking is a wonder. You can see people whose kidneys don't work. So kidneys are a wonder because, you know, it's only when something's broken and then it's like, wow, I'm so amazed that I do have walking legs. I do have, you know, functioning organs. And yet it's in those moments, I believe, God is also looking to us. It's like, you know, did you see that sunset I put out there for you last night? Did you see the raindrops as it fell on the leaves this morning? I did that for you. You know, we're so busy in our lives that we don't actually just sort of stop for a moment and by the power of His Holy Spirit, stop and wonder. Be in wonder of His creation. Be in wonder of the relationships that we have with each other, because outside of God, you know, people would look at us going, wow, there's so many cultures here represented. The earth is all, you know, nations are fighting, and yet in this very room, there's such a spirit of unity. You know, we can't take that for granted. So, you know, I am always in wonder. There are some scriptures there, but I'm looking at the time and I know we're hungry. So we're on point two, we're sort of halfway there. Okay, I'll jump to my auntie, the next woman, who showed me what it was like to be in wonder. This is my auntie Vangi. This is my dad's sister. She's the first person my dad brought from Samoa. I think if you're from a nation that's not New Zealand, it's part of our culture to bring family members, right? It's part of our family culture to, because we've got such a great life here, we want our biological family members to share in that. And so my auntie was the first one to come through. She really did love me. She spoiled me. If anyone had a gift of generosity, it was this woman. She was always buying me new clothes, new toys. And because she always loved me with chocolate, my skinny self then became not so skinny self. But she was also a teacher. And she taught me how to read, how to write, how to present my work. And she showed me the wonder of God through maths, through science, through the study of people. And it's in those little things, it's in the detail. That's what she showed me. It's in the detail that we would wonder at God's glory. So that's point two, wonder, and that's my auntie. Oh, okay, side point. So the first lady, my auntie Vangi, Auntie Leonge, when I said she was a single mum, she got married in her 50s. Yeah, she got married in her 50s. And then my auntie Vangi, she got married in her late 30s. She was single, so she didn't have any kids. She got married in her late 30s, but she got married to a man whose son, whose eldest son was a year younger than her. And so she married into an already made family. She was already a mum to, I think, 7, and then she was a grandmother to many, and she's like, got how many great-grandchildren now? So, you know, you never know what God does. It's whether you're single, you know, no kids, whether you're single with kids, you know, God always provides, always. He knows the desires of your heart. Okay, and then my third point. You can put that next slide up. Thank you, love. I know, right? God speaks to me in Marvel Universe. Wakanda! So for those of you who are not part of the movie-watching group of people, Wakanda is a fictional nation from East Africa. And it's in the Marvel Universe where the character Black Panther comes from. Okay, and so there was a movie out earlier this year, and for those of you, I'm not promoting movies, but Infinity War as well. Yeah, me and my husband are still arguing over their ending because he's like frustrated. How could the Hulk? Anyway, no, go back. Okay. Now you made me lose where I am. Okay, because of the mineral vibranium, Wakanda became like this amazing nation but nobody knew about it. It had like advanced technology. It had, you know, on the outside looking in, it was like, you know, the poorest country, had nothing, la la la. But on the inside, that this nation had amazing resources at its disposal. Okay, track with me. You're going to find out, how did God speak in Wakanda? Anyway, but if you allow me full disclosure, and, you know, because we're all family here, this is a safe zone, God actually used the word loyalty. But because I'm like, okay, Lord, it doesn't really fit with my alliteration that I've got in my head. You know, I've got worship, I've got wonder. Loyalty, it's, you know, it's like, Lord, could I use another word? And so, you know, God allowed me to use Wakanda, okay? So thank you, Lord, for Wakanda. Okay, alliteration, it's a good thing, it helps you remember. Okay, so if we go back, and I don't need to go back on the slide, but so worship, the external expression of a reverent heart, wonder, the expression of the external expression of witness and admiration. And then, you know, I like to propose my definition for Wakanda. Okay? Wakanda is the external action of faithfulness, commitment, and allegiance to all that God is. Okay? To all that God is. Proverbs, let's go to that next one. Proverbs, when God talks about loyalty in the Bible, he talks about how those who pursue righteousness and loyalty finds life. Righteousness and honor throughout the Bible it records. Oh, okay. My husband typed what I was supposed to say. His children. Did you know that in the Christian Standard Bible, it refers to loyalty more times than any other translation? Okay, so then Deuteronomy. Know that Yahweh, your God, is God, the faithful God, who keeps his gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commands. So if you see that Deuteronomy 7:9, that takes us back to that first point. Remember about loving God and obeying his commandments? It speaks about loyalty. Okay. I've got a few more verses up there, I think. Yeah, we do? Okay. I'm seeing it's 12:15. True loyalty results in actions. Okay, we can say we're someone's friend, but, you know, when we hear something about them, do we, like, you know, ring them, hey, is everything all right? You know, I'm with you to the end. Or we're like, oh, really? Did they really do that? And then, you know, when that person's trying to text you, get a hold of you, and you don't, you know, pretend like you didn't see that notification? Yeah? That's not true loyalty. True loyalty in action is someone who's there, who will always be there. You know, we as humans, you know, I'm at fault too, you know. I'm like that sometimes, especially if someone's really cut me deep. But God's not like that. He's not like that at all. Okay. True loyalty remains in adversity. You know, when times get tough, do you know how many people are there by when something bad really happens, and then you look around and it's like, man, where are my friends at? Okay, true loyalty remains in adversity. Proverbs 17:17, the bottom there. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. When you find someone like that, you got to be a person like that, and then it's reciprocal. Okay. And that's why I believe that the principle of Wakanda is biblical. The Wakandans, they were loyal to their country. They, to the point of death, you know. Like, there are lots of movies where it shows, like, you know, they're being, rah, you know, they're going to go fight and stuff like that. But there was something about that Black Panther and when it came to loyalty. And that's why, you know, when we hear when people are just, yeah, and Wakanda forever, you know. And that's why Hollywood really did tap into our human need for loyalty. That's why that movie really resounds with a lot of people, especially ethnic groups. You know, those who have been disenfranchised from their own countries, because even their own countries weren't loyal. Families, you know, Hollywood really tapped into a winner on that one. Okay, but then how loyal are we to God? When, you know, we're at a restaurant and then, you know, someone's talking to you, and then all of a sudden, you know, your conversation leads to everything biblical, and then from a voice like this to, oh yeah, God really answered that prayer, you know? Has anyone done that before, or is that just me? You know, and then when, like, we're waiting in the line at the supermarket, and, you know, and then, you know, conversations to lead to something, you know, like a praise report. You know, God answered prayer. Oh, did you hear that such and such has, you know, got saved? You know, they've been praying for that brother for years. You know, and yet that sort of conversation would be left into the confines of you know, like a Christian space, not like in a secular place. This is my favorite. It's the, you know, we're in a world of acronyms. You know, and when the OMG, you know, but for me it's like OMG L me, which means, oh my God loves me. Oh my God loves me. You know, you can use that one, that's a free one, okay? OMG L me. Okay? So when someone's like OMG, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, OMG L me, because God really does love you. It's not luck, luck has nothing to do with it, it's all about love. Okay, it's because God loves you. It's not because you're lucky. Okay, and that's why, you know, for my final person, who has shown nothing but loyalty in the midst of adversity, in the midst of pride, and would have to be this lady. It's my mum. I tried to find a photo of her being when she was pregnant with me, but God bless my dad, he's like a Photoshop genius in that he cuts up the photo and then he sticks it on, and then it's like, where's that photo? And all I see is cut up photos of people. And yeah, so you could have taken a photo of the original and then cut up that photo. Anyhow, that's the photo of my mum, okay? Now that lady has seen me through everything, through broken hearts, through a broken marriage, through miscarriage. That 21-year-old that you saw beforehand, she was such a stubborn girl. Never listened to her mum. I never listened to my mum. I always thought that she knew no better. I felt like she was always holding me back. She didn't understand me because, like, you know, I'm like first generation, New Zealand born. She doesn't know what my life is like. But through that 24 years of experience that I was talking about before, God was able to show me just how much he loved me by providing this woman in my life, is what loyalty looks like. So this afternoon, I stand before you as a 45-year-old wanting to be more like my mother every day. And that's why, like my kids would like talk about me. It was like, man, it's because I've had such great women in my life show me what it is to worship God, what it is to be in wonder of all the little details, and what it is to be Wakanda forever, to be in God's kingdom forever. I was going to say this part, but I actually think if we could pray. So, you just close your eyes, everybody. Father God, we come before you today. That for anybody that is here in this room, Lord, that they find themselves with no examples of people like I shared today. Lord, my prayer is that God, you illuminate a memory. You'd illuminate a word that someone said, like I said before, a teacher, you know, a lady at a playground, someone that you had already sent to show them what worship, wonder, and Wakanda look like. Oh Lord, I just pray that you'd send someone their way. Even one of the ladies that were here, up here on the stage, Lord, someone that would resound in their hearts, that they would go and speak to. If today you find yourself empty of being able to worship God because of unanswered prayers, and that or that your idea of answered prayer, because sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers like the way we want them to be answered. My prayer is that you, me, we would see this as a great new beginning. Nothing is a surprise for God. Nothing is too small or too big that God doesn't know about or has the power to do something about it. If you find yourself today falling short in the miracle department, my prayer is that you would see with God's eyes, God's perspective, that you would hear with God's ears, that you would see as He sees over that situation, over that person, over even that group of people. If you're breathing, you are a miracle. If you're thinking, you're a miracle. If you're in this auditorium, you are a miracle. And that as you lifted your holy hands this morning, you are a miracle. And that as we, your children, make grateful statements of the little things, Lord, I pray that you would show us bigger miracles. And lastly, if you can't find Wakanda in your life, my prayer is that you find forgiveness for the people who have hurt you. Lord, I pray that you would heal that hurt, that pain, that memory, that abuse, that violence, those words, those curses, the abandonment. Father, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to forgive them and give them to you. And that you would heal that, Father God, and that you would show us how much you love us and how loyal we are to you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your gentle presence. We pray for the beautiful work of restoration in our relationships. You are truly a wonderful God. Thank you for your patience. Lord, in our relationships, Lord, help us be mindful and appreciative of that which we've been blessed by. Thank you for the words of Malia, your story through her. We thank you for the courage and the resilience of a loving mother. We pray your blessing upon every person today, of every family, every household. Thank you, Lord. We honor you and we love you. And everybody says, Amen. Thank you, Malia.